you're listening to Otaku Spirit Animecast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
Today's episode is a discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members, and then say goodbye. So how was the last couple weeks? I don't even know why I'm asking.
Yeah, right?
I don't even know why I'm asking. It's been a hellish last couple weeks, but I've told people on the live stream last night, it was like, it's for the better. Like, besides like the last couple days where we all got sick, that's not for the better, but everything else was for the better. So it's been hectic, and it's gonna be crazy the next couple weeks because we have everything pretty much ending. So yeah, season end stuff.
I am in this ambivalent moment, especially with some of the shows. I really, really do love them, and seeing some of them end, but like we said during the preview podcast, it's insane what's coming up. And but so I've always got that every season, it seems like.
Every season in is a give and a take.
Yeah.
You give up Ranking of Kings, Akabe Sailor Uniform, Slow Loop, and technically 86, and Dress Up Darling for Spy X Family, Tsubaki Konichi, and Aheren-san. Can we keep going on? Next season is scary as hell. If you guys have not already, definitely check out our podcast that we did for the spring preview. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. It's scary as hell, but we're going to get through it. We're going to get through it, Chris. And then, of course, we have a bunch of drops coming from Netflix, so I have to eventually get on that stuff, and that's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll talk about a couple of those in this newscast, where we talk about the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you, that's important to us. But yeah, as usual, you can find us at otakuspare.com. There's all of our social media links there, including our Discord channel, where you guys can join there. Currently, they are doing a watch-along for School Live, which I'm completely behind on because, again, sick. Last couple of days have been kind of a haze. It's been a long time since I've been pretty much knocked out for over 24 hours. It's just, I've never really had that problem before. So that was it's a very new experience to me. I usually, whenever I get sick like that, it's usually like a quick done, one and done kind of thing.
Yep.
Not this time. So it is what it is. But no, it bothered me more because we just got done with that whole travel that last week. And then I wanted to get back on live streaming. And then, like, sure enough, I get sick and I'm like, crap, I need to get back on my live streaming. So last night's live stream was great. So it was a good comeback. Getting back into Elden Ring. I'm not sure if I'm going to stick on Elden Ring for too much longer. I might. I really want to get back to 13 Sentinels. It's still nagging at me. There's a couple other games I want to play on there. So we'll see. We'll see how things go. I know that a lot of people enjoy watching me get frustrated and die a bunch in Elden Ring. So I don't know. People just enjoy my pain and suffering. But other than that, I really badly want to get back to Genshin Impact too. And I don't want to touch Genshin Impact until I'm done with Elden Ring, because it creates habits that the button presses are different between the two games. And so if you're playing Elden Ring, where if you press the wrong button, you die, you don't want to press the wrong button. And everything is different in Genshin Impact than Elden Ring. So, and I know there's like festivals and events and stuff that are probably wrapping up right now. And I'm like, crap, I might miss some events.
I had this slight inkling to reinstall Genshin on my system. I reformatted my system
again
a couple weeks ago. Again,
do you like a yearly basis? Like
it's been over a year since the last time I had reformatted my system. It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm. He does a lot. I don't. It's weird, but it is what it is. Other than that, I guess that's pretty much it. Like I said, just wrapping up the season. So yeah, definitely as usual, definitely check out our YouTube channel. I'll be doing reviews of all the shows during that time. As also, we'll have them in a podcast eventually. I'm not sure if we'll be doing our first next week. I don't think we'll have enough. I know that like quite a few big heavy hitters like Dress Up Darling, Akebi, Orient's already done, Liddell's done, Vanitas will be done, I think. I think Vanitas is done. Ranking of Kings, obviously. So I think we'll have enough for next week, but I don't know. I don't know if we'll start next week or not, but we'll see. I guess it depends on if Chris is comfortable enough with it.
We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. But yeah,
pretty much the ones you mentioned, I think I'm done with all those. So
yeah, yeah. Good stuff. It's good stuff. I'm going to miss Akebi so bad. Last week broke me so bad. It broke me so bad.
It was
bad.
Pretty sweet.
My Dress Up Darling was very good. It was very good last week, too. It's very good. Lizakune. We all love the Lizakune. Anyways, the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you because it's important to us. There's a lot to go through, so we should probably get started so we can actually get some of the questions done. We're starting to already get piled up from the Discord, so that's a good thing and a bad thing at the same time. But yeah, first one, let's get this out of the way. We have to address it on the podcast. I've already made a video. It kind of got pretty popular, and usually things that are negative are pretty popular, which I don't really like, but that's the thing. But yeah, Crunchyroll apparently, seemingly, I'm going to say seemingly, this is not confirmed, this is just speculation, seemingly is getting rid of all uncensored content as it moves over from Funimation to Crunchyroll. So for those that are not aware, obviously, Sony bought Funimation and then later bought Crunchyroll. So they bought the two biggest anime streaming services. Nothing can go wrong there, right? Question mark. As me and Chris the entire time were yelling, this is going to cause a monopoly. This is going to cause somebody become a gatekeeper because there's no competition. But yeah, again, speculation. If you watch Crunchyroll's new feed, you can go to their website and you can click on their new... They also have a post that they're keeping updated. And they're keeping track of pretty much everything that's moving from Funimation to Crunchyroll. Because they're going to shut down Funimation. And they're just going to move all their streaming content to Crunchyroll. So one location. So that's good, right? All one location, one sub. They're doing it earlier than we actually expected. Even we were predicting that we're going to take longer because they can double dip the sub fees. Well, if you look at that new content coming into Crunchyroll, something weird about it. It's a lot of censored stuff and stuff that has uncensored versions on Funimation. So the big question mark is as things are coming over from Funimation, are they going, yeah, let's get the uncensored version. Let's just leave the, let's bring the censored version over. Let's leave the uncensored version there. We don't need that. These children's don't need their eyes seeing boobies and stuff. That's dangerous. And that's kind of what's happening. And not just that, violent stuff is being weeded out as it comes over as well. So that's bringing up the big question mark. Is this intentional? I mean, to give them credit, they plan on doing everything over time. And, well, they first said they were going to bring everything over. They were tweeting to everybody, yes, everything is coming over. And then at some point, somebody, I forget who it was, did an interview with Anime News Network, and they said, most of the stuff is coming over. So mixed messaging there. I think the left hand's not speaking to the right hand about exactly what's being moved over. But so you can assume that this is going to take time before everything is moved over. Maybe they just happen to move the censor stuff over first and the uncensored stuff is coming later. You can also make an argument that Crunchyroll has a crappy player that only plays one version of one thing in one selection. So maybe it's because they didn't want to create different listings for now, and maybe later on when they get an actual good player that can have version selections, dialogue selections, and, I don't know, subtitle versus dub selections, maybe then that's when they'll bring it over. But either way, it's as the kids say these days, sus. Everybody's been waiting for me to say that. I don't know why. Every time I say something close to it, they think that I'm saying it. So I figured I'd just say it for the fun of it. So, and to give people examples, we had, and it was like, bam, bam, bam happened. And that's why I created my video. Seven Mortal Sins came over. They already had the sub version on Crunchyroll, but they brought over the dub version, but they're both censored. It makes sense the sub version's censored because that was the original broadcast version, but the dub version was uncensored on Crunchyroll or Funimation. They didn't bring it over. My Girlfriend Is Gal came over, the dub. They already had the sub on Crunchyroll. It was censored, of course, because it was a broadcast version. And they had the uncensored version on Funimation. They brought the censored version over. Azur Lane, they brought both the sub and the dub versions from Funimation. They had both an uncensored version on Funimation. They brought the censored version over. And like I said before, even violence is being censored because Akadama Drive came over, both the sub and the dub. Funimation had both the uncensored and censored version. They brought the censored version over. The only oddity in this whole mix was two of them that I've seen so far. I haven't been keeping up on this, but High School DxD came over, the newest season. They brought the dub over and it was uncensored. So that was the only oddity that kind of put a crack in my whole theory here. And that could have been an oops. Who knows? The other one was Freezing. Freezing has come over and it was uncensored. But the caveat with freezing is Funimation only had an uncensored version, so it could be a case where they're like, eh, we don't have an option. We don't have a censored version. And to keep in mind, the reason why Funimation had uncensored version and Crunchyroll never had censored version or uncensored versions is because technically Funimation, they get the Blu-rays eventually. So typically with Crunchyroll, they're only getting the broadcast version. They're not going out of their way to get the late night broadcast uncensored version that some companies do get. Crunchyroll's always gotten the censored TV broadcast versions. Whereas Funimation, they do as well, but they'll eventually get the Masters uncensored version because they're going to want to sell it in a physical distribution. And then they would put an uncensored version, you know, setting on their website for that particular show. The problem is they're not being moved over. So question mark, Chris, question mark. Is this finally the gatekeeping we were expecting? Or do you think this is just maybe over time they'll eventually get the stuff? Maybe they're prioritizing the censored versions.
I hate to say it this way because when it comes down to it, we're pretty much speculating, and that's the biggest problem. Like I said before, we don't have eyes inside these discussion rooms to absolutely decide whether or not this is happening, and that's the frustrating point. Is we're sitting here from the outside going, well, what do you expect us to believe? I mean, we've been complaining about this. Yes, this is a confirmation of everything we've been complaining about. This is right in front of us, our face. They're not even hiding it now. And it's frustrating because of the fact that we want these companies to do well, and they're pretty much just dumping on us. It's like, what do you expect us to believe? At this point, and I've told Andrew, when it comes down to it, one of the main reasons why I don't believe this will change is because the people that are quote unquote in charge of this stuff, they feel that they have a moral obligation to do this. They just do. If you've listened to them long enough, you know, they all say the same stuff. They all believe the same issues. This is why it's the same in the video game industry, the same. That's why I said more than likely we are going to have a quote unquote Gamergate moment in the anime industry. We're looking
at it. Yeah, it was in prison school.
It was in prison school. Exactly. We're sitting here staring at this in our face, and they're not listening to us. They think they have the moral obligation to shove this stuff down our throats. And that's why I said at some point, if these people don't start listening to us, they're going to end up in the same situation as they did in the gamer side.
And I think that's a good thing to note. If for some reason somebody at Crunchyroll, I know there was a couple people for some time that was commenting back to me that worked at Crunchyroll that were listening to us. I mean, that's how we got in with the Crunchyroll awards and stuff. One of them no longer works with Crunchyroll, got the heck out of there, so good on him. But if they are listening, I mean, I was going to make the argument earlier where is it really our fault that we're speculating on this? I mean, there's plenty of people online right now saying, why are we getting the censored version? If you look at the comment sections for the videos for these shows, it's a bunch of people on episode one going, why is this a censored version? I clicked on mature content. I am an adult. Why am I getting the censored version? So for us to speculate, it's because you're not communicating. If you are planning on bringing over the other ones, let us know. That's all you need to do. This has been several weeks that this whole issue has been coming up, and probably it's not loud enough. Maybe we're not loud enough. Maybe people need to start getting louder. We are wondering why this is happening, and so you're just leaving us to speculate. If it's coming down the road, tell us. If it's because your player is terrible and it won't have selections, and so you don't want 50 million season selections just to select each one of these things, let us know. I mean, yes, there's probably a problem with making, you know, the original, then you have the original uncut, then you have the original original English dub, and then you have the original English dub uncut, and then you have the original German. I mean, the way that they have it set up, they have to season everything. And so maybe that's the reason why. Let us know. That's all we need to know. Are you going to make a player eventually that will let you select uncut, and maybe that's what you're waiting for? Just grab Funimation's player, honestly. I think that's what, as much as I have problems with Funimation's player, at least it has all those selections in one, and you can literally go to one link for episode one, and then you can select what you want. But anyway, that's a whole side tangent. But Yeah, I mean, it's not giving us an option, and that's the problem. But my whole thing is, if you're listening to this, that's all you need to do is just let us know. Just be, communicate what you're doing, and that relieves that fear. But the thing that I want most for anybody listening that does work at Crunchyroll or Sony or whatever to know is, what is the top comment I get with my video that I made on this? Again, my video was just speculating and saying, keep an eye out for this, because this is bad signs. The biggest main comment is, there's always piracy. That's the main thing you need to know. Everybody replying to this whole issue is saying the same thing, there's always piracy. Keep that in mind when you're screwing around this stuff, you're messing with our content, you're going to lose your viewer base. You're going to lose subs. You're already losing enough subs dropping Funimation to move into just Crunchyroll. Just wait. Just wait for what's to come. I can't threaten. People are going to do what they're going to do. This is not me standing on a high box and saying I'm going to lead a charge away from Crunchyroll. People are doing what they're doing. I'm still subbed. They do what they want to do. I don't control people. But they're going to do what they want to do to get the content they want to get. And it's not, we want booba. It's, I want stuff that's the original content. I want the original intent and creation to be in front of my eyeballs.
Well, and
it's not always boobies. It's like, the only reason I made my video, I had people telling me, hey, check this whole issue out. There's this thing happening. And I'm like, eh, it's probably just over time they'll bring the other stuff. Don't worry about it. It wasn't until I seen Akadama Drive where I'm like, violence too? We're really bringing over the censored version of Akadama Drive, one of my favorite shows of that year. We really had to move the uncensored version or the censored version over. Are we really doing violence too? That was the big nail on the camel's back.
And this is something that, speaking to your we want the original artist's intent. That's a lot of it. I mean, when I know that I get a lot of crap for my pretty much my stance on as pure of subtitles as possible, as pure of translation.
I don't know. Why?
As much as I get crap over that, there's a twinge of that all of us really kind of want, and whether we want to be as extreme as I am on this,
everybody has a meter and everybody's gonna eventually break. So what's the difference?
And that's the problem is you're because each of us have a different tolerance to it. You get away with a lot more because if I say something about something, 99% of people probably don't have that same problem. But eventually, when you have what was the comment in Maid Dragon, and everybody and their mom the patriarchy, everybody and their mom is jumping up and saying, hey, look, this is not okay, or the Gamergate reference in Prison School or something like that. Each one of these things is different tolerance levels that people are willing to allow. And if you keep dancing on those tolerance levels, what do you expect? I mean, this is really what I've been chiming on for a long time. You're eating away at the goodwill. Me and Andrew have been absolutely fanatical about supporting Crunchyroll or Funimation for years, and
despite those issues coming up here and there,
exactly,
it was an aspect of the thing as a whole is a good benefit, and so we kind of dealt with those things. And I do want to mention that I think people that do think that things are overblown, I do think that's an aspect of that tolerance level. When somebody doesn't find something, I mean, again, here recently with my Dress Up Darling, that was an example of something where I seen a subtitle or a translation they did for a particular line. The character's talking about a manga, it was a manga that was a light novel author who has a succubus that is thirsting for them every night. And the translation was the translator basically inserting a joke into the lines. It was a joke that wasn't there in the original context, at least from what I've been able to research. I've been scanning the book cover and trying to translate everything. I don't see any and even when she's spoken, she doesn't say anything to the effect of "I don't know." The line they added was at the end of the manga's title, says, "And I don't know what to do." and that phrase isn't even in her spoken language. And then what they took is they took that and they paraphrased it to ADK. And so the short they did for the title was SUCCIDK, obviously implying something. And that was a translator inserting a joke where there wasn't a joke. And so everybody obviously in the comments are like, that was funny. They even had some people were acknowledging that it was a translator that made the joke. And it's like, I want to laugh at that, but it bugs me that they added a joke there where the original creator did not have a joke. So it's almost like, look at me, ain't I funny? Don't worry about the original creator. I'm funny. I'm the comedian. Hire me. And it's like, that makes me feel dirty. But then again, there's that tolerance level. That bugs me because I really like things to be as close as possible. Most people, they're either not going to know, they're not going to even notice, or they don't even care. But the problem is that when you don't acknowledge something like that being wrong, eventually when it does bug you, you're going to be going, this bugged me now. And I'm going to go, yeah, welcome to my world. I mean, it's that whole aspect of everybody kind of waits until everybody's on the same boat. Yeah. Until that Gamergate moment from prison school happens. And then suddenly everybody's like, wait, this is terrible. And it's like, yeah, we've been talking about this for weeks. Where have you been? And you keep telling us that we're overblowing thing. And now we're like, okay, well, sure, come on in. I mean, we've been waiting for you. You had a chair for the last 3 weeks. But I don't know. It's a downward spiral. And it's important to notice those kind of signs. And that's something we've been talking about for a while now with this buyout is just – it wasn't an aspect of let's go up in arms and spam Twitter constantly. It was more of a thing of keep an eye out for these things so that when they happen, we mention it to them like, this is not what we want. This is not what we want. So when it does come time where suddenly their subs start dropping, they're not surprised because we told them. We told them several times, this is not what we want and you're doing it anyways. Again, it's early signs. It could just be that they haven't moved everything over yet. It could be that they're trying to prepare their player to do it. I don't know why they would do that. Like, if they're preparing their player and so they don't want both versions up there, why wouldn't they put the uncensored version? Because they have a rating system on their site where you have to confirm that you're an adult to watch the adult stuff. And why would you have to confirm that you're an adult to watch a censored adult thing? It doesn't make any sense to me, but... that's me. I guess that's my weird, twisted logic that an adult would be okay with watching adult content. But I don't know. It's a bad sign, but we'll have to see where it goes from here. It's been a long time coming, and honestly, we knew it was coming, but we'll see. I don't know. Is it one of those things where eventually we'll have to announce to the podcast that we are officially 100% no longer on a platform? It's getting there. I mean, it's already happening with a certain show this season that, well, it already pretty much ended, but World's End, there's no reason to watch that on Crunchyroll. And again, granted, that's not Crunchyroll censoring that. They're getting that from the company. But my argument there is I think that they probably told... I don't have confirmation of this whatsoever, so don't get me wrong. I still hold true that the reason why the original World's End was delayed was because the buyout just happened then, or at least it was confirmed for Sony to buy Crunchyroll, and Crunchyroll told them, we don't want this, and that they went back and changed it. Yes, you can make the argument that they wouldn't care, the studio wouldn't care, but that's a lot of money for them to put on the table, and I don't think that's a show that really was that successful. So it's up there. I honestly don't think that they would bend to the needs of Crunchyroll, but at the same time, you don't know how much money is being exchanged there. We don't know how much money Crunchyroll was giving for that show to stream it over here. They could have made the speculation or the desire for them to censor it. And my crazy theory here is the reason why it's stupidly comically, we're talking comically censored in Japan. This show is, they're censoring kisses. I think it's comically censored for a reason. I don't know if it's because they're doing that as a middle finger to Crunchyroll or if they just decided, let's have a fun with this and let's just joke around with the whole censorship. I don't know. It's, again, that's just my crazy theory. It's not, I have no reason to, I have nothing of evidence to say that's how it worked, but you wonder.
It's kind of sad because I would go with the idea of they're getting the censored version faster, mostly because of the fact that ATX is the late night channel, and they probably get that several hours after the other more censored version that they're just tossing at them. Hey, you guys want this? Here you go. But my frustration has always been with the fact that they've never actually put the uncensored version up. So I don't even think that Crunchyroll has ever cared either way on getting the uncensored version. And that's something that has been kind of one of those niggling at the back of my head type things. I've never actually cared to confirm that or deny that. It's just one of those things that they've always had the censored version, and you wonder why they never got the uncensored version.
Yeah, my assumption there was always that it was two different licenses, or that the uncensored version was more expensive. I wouldn't doubt that they would have like that kind of a thing set up, because again, obviously, when they typically what they're going to want to do in Japan is they're going to want to sell that uncensored version eventually. And now, granted, with it being broadcast on a later night schedule as well, on top of the daylight the censored daylight's whatever version, I don't know that's the same case, but. Yeah, it's those inner workings that they're not really technically allowed to divulge. So it just, again, it's that whole aspect of you don't tell us, we don't know. So we have to speculate, unfortunately. But let's move away from this. Let's go into fun stuff. I guess we should have some fun stuff in this episode. I don't want to be negative all the time. Here's some really fantastic news, Chris. The Saint's Magic Powers Omnipotent is getting a second season.
It's about time.
Happiness. This is like one of the last remaining shows of last year that was like, okay, everything's getting sequels. Where's this one? And there's one other one. I'm still waiting for Kakeki Shoujo. It's the last show that we need to get an announcement for. Well, I would technically love Edidens as well, but I know that's not technically got any content to really adapt, so I understand that. But yeah, Saint's Magic Powers Omnipotent is getting a second season. This was announced on their official website for the anime. The director and scriptwriter is going to be returning to Dia Media for the sequel, so that's fantastic as well, but yeah, for those that missed this show, definitely check it out. It is definitely a different take on the isekai route. It is a girl that's being transported to another world. She's actually transported with somebody else, and she is deemed as the one that, or the other girl is deemed as the one that was supposed to be there. And so the main character is kind of discarded. But it's a really kind of a cute, laid back, fun little perspective. The main character is not a Brix character. She has a lot of great personality to herself, very driven. It's just a really fantastic take on the isekai genre that I really enjoyed, and I was very surprised how much I enjoyed it. So definitely looking forward to more of that. So, and they had a little bit of Blossoming Love that I'm hoping they'll get into. It seems like based on the little art that they released for it, there's a little flower, so maybe they will, but we'll see. Excited for that. Definitely excited for it. We don't have a date or even a time frame for it, but it's good to know that's coming. So maybe, I mean, let me throw out my guesses. I'm going to say winter next year at the latest, maybe fall if we're lucky this year. But maybe I'm going to lean towards winter just because we don't really have any information like a date or anything set up for it. So
when did it come out last time?
I want to say it was a spring show.
We can probably see it in as soon as this year then.
Yeah, maybe. Let's see here. The official Twitter account for Kengan Ashura manga has announced there is a sequel for the series and the anime adaptation for the series. They have already announced that it is going to be streaming on Netflix, so definitely look forward to that if you're a fan of the series. I honestly don't remember if I've ever seen anything on this, so it's kind of like one of those sequels of like, wait, what is this? I want to say that I've possibly seen it, but maybe I was just getting it mixed up with Baki, because I think it possibly the same studio. So very similar style to it. So for those that like those action shows, look forward to that. One that's kind of it has my interest. I'm kind of mixed on this show. I was mixed to begin with, but yeah, Pacific Rim The Black apparently is coming back. I didn't even know this was coming. Well, I think they did mention they were going to be doing a sequel. I just didn't really hear anything since then. But yeah, Pacific Rim The Black is going to be returning for its second and final season. They're already establishing that it will be the final season for it. It's going to be premiering on Netflix on April 19th. So just right around the corner. So for those that want to see.
You watch that, right?
Yeah.
Did they do all right?
it was okay. It did some good things and some not so good things. So I don't know. I was very mixed on it. I was excited for it just based on the idea that originally when Pacific Rim came out, I was like, this is something that if an anime studio got a hold of, they would do something crazy cool with it. And the issue that I found with the anime adaptation was, or at least The Black, was that it's like a Japanese studio doing it, but that's about it. Because like the writer and everything was still Western. So it's like, yeah, it was one of those things where when I watched it, I'm like, this is being real tame. Like they could do some really cool stuff with this, but this feels very tame. And then afterwards I'm like, oh, it's because the writer and everything was still a Western writer. Yeah. So you didn't actually have a Japanese crazy writer do some crazy stuff with it. And it was like, it was a lot of difficulties with things like, you know, the whole thing with Pacific Rim that I enjoyed was this idea of mending minds with somebody else in order to pilot. And so it can get into some really cool stuff with, you know, characters addressing other characters' mental traumas. And when it got into one character's mental traumas, it was like, it didn't really show anything. It's just like, you had to assume what was happening with her issue. And it's like, we could have done some cool stuff with this and you didn't. But it is what it is. It got pretty anime at the end of it, which I think was in the original, like side novels they did with the series. So we'll see if that does anything interesting with the second part. We'll see. It's a full CGI show, by the way. So for those that are swayed by that kind of stuff, be aware of that. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see if it does anything cool. I'll definitely be checking it out though. I'm not sure if I'll be checking out on April 19th, but we'll see if I have time for it. Because the next few weeks is going to be pretty crazy. I think what I want to do is after we get done with the reviews of this season, start getting into the next season, get all the first impressions done, I'll probably just fire up a Netflix account and just burn through all the stuff that I'm missing out on right now. Like Katara Lives Alone. Is it Katara Lives Alone? Katara? I think it's Katara Lives Alone. Mm-hmm. Netflix also announced they got they will have a second season of Baki Hanma. So if you're a fan of Baki Hanma, definitely look forward to that. They don't really have a date for it yet or a time frame, but they have announced the second season coming. They said it will be focusing on the new fighter Pickle, a warrior from a bygone primitive age. So look forward to Pickles. I love that name. It's like this big crazy dude with claws and his name's Pickles. I'm sure that was intentional. In this corner, Pickles. Anyway, sorry. I get some hate for that. All the Baki fans. The official website for Sword Art Online Progressive has released a new visual and a release date for the fall on its second film for the Sword Art Online Progressive franchise. So if you are, well, that's technically Japan still, but it's right around the corner. So all those people that are in Japan or getting it through other means, look forward to that, I guess. But yeah, I'm still going to wait for probably the stuff to come out on. They're going to totally do TV versions of it. You know it. They know it. So? They're not going to do TV versions of all this stuff. So I'll probably just have to wait for that. Because as usual, it's hard for us to get really anything of this. I am really looking forward to it. I think getting Ozan's perspective on that stuff would be really interesting. So
cool. I get it. I get the impression that it feels like, from what I understand, the writer has really grown up and learned his craft a lot better, and he's rewriting a lot of this from that, with that in mind of changing the way he's doing a lot of things. So that's one thing that I am excited about, him being able to use a lot of the tools that he's learned over the years on it.
Yeah. I can see that. I mean, it was something we've seen getting into the later stuff of Sword Art. It kind of got better over time. It had its stumbling points, but it definitely got better over time. So, official website for Orient Anime has announced that it's going to be getting a second part, and it will be premiering in July of 2022. So, right around the corner, just going to be jumping a season going into summer. I was talking about this with Chris earlier. I just released my review for Orient on YouTube, so if you guys can check that out. And I'm kind of in that boat where I think it needs a second core, because obviously definitely, it's a very much a slow burn of a series. So, I think we'll be seeing. I honestly have the theory that they want to get a second core for this done, because I think that's probably going to be the point in which it's going to get into something that's going to really grab our attention. Obviously it's been doing stuff that's worth it, but there's got to be something else there that's going to be the real grabbing point. So we'll hopefully see if that turns out well with the second core.
Yeah, that was the thing is I kind of dropped off of it just before it started kind of pulling together, and I was really kind of disappointed with it. And then when I went and watched that last episode, oh, finally they got into something that's worth its time. So it's one of those frustrating things. I think it's doing good. I hate to do this, but it's not Magi, and that's the main frustration that I have with it. I'm hoping for something that'll pull it together a lot better than it is right now. As it stands right now, it's definitely setting itself up. You've got factions, you've got your kind of opposing force, you've got all your wild cards out there. So it definitely has all the pull together of what it needs for a solid shonen. So
as somebody who has full knowledge of the mangaka for this and her writing for Magi and obviously getting into Orient, can you say, or can you confirm that there seems to be some sort of, does this mangaka have some sort of thing with booby scars? Because it seemed like it was pretty prevalent in Orient was booby scars. Is it just that for some reason in these worlds, bad guys just go, hey, there's something that's coming out towards me, and it's the closest thing to me, so I can slash at that? Because it seemed like half the female characters in Orient had booby scars. One was missing a hole.
No, but I think that a lot of his female her female characters seems to have a lot of chains.
Chains? Is chains a thing?
Chains seems to be a thing. Yeah. There's constantly chains on females in a lot of the stories, it seems.
Yeah, big shocker. It's actually a female writer. Everybody would get angry about that if I didn't say that and make sure that was clear beforehand. Anyways, cool though. I'm interested in that. I'll be looking forward to that. Hopefully summer's not insane like spring is, because if Orient was in spring, it would be very hard for me to get caught back up on that. Well, I was technically keeping decently caught up with it, surprisingly, but yeah. Netflix, I guess Netflix decided that upping the sub costs per month was not enough to get people off their platform. They decided to announce that they are going to further their efforts to get people to unsub by testing out a new payment model for sharing accounts. So for those who don't know, Netflix has been around for a long time. And one of the biggest, coolest things they did early on with their whole subscription service was to be very, very open about how they know people are sharing accounts, and they kind of supported it. Like, yeah, we all share accounts, do it. Like they were okay with it. They accepted the joke that everybody just shares accounts. Nobody actually has an account. Well, apparently they don't want to do that no more. And like I said, they want to get people to unsub, so they decided they're going to test out new methods to do that. Which apparently it's going to be tested out in Chile, Costa Rica, and Peru starting out. And essentially this new setup is that anybody that has basic, standard, or premium plans will be able to share a single account with another user outside of their household. The cost is going to be, I don't know the conversion rate, but it's about $3 extra, which, shoot, that sounds like a steal to me. $3 more to add to your $20 account. That sounds great. So not only you're paying $20 a month, you're going to pay $23. But anyways, they state that it's going to enable members who share outside of their household to easily and securely while also paying a bit more. I like how that's in the actual quote is, it also pay a bit more. This is so stupid. Fire their marketing team so bad. Please just fire them until they are out of the state. They haven't really specified exactly what they're doing here. The only thing I can think of is that it's going to make it to where you can my assumption based on the fact that I don't really have, they haven't really released anything of greater detail here, is my assumption is it's going to be a thing where you can create another user on your account that won't have access to all of your account settings. Because that's the only thing that's really the only fear to sharing out with somebody is that they literally have access to everything. Now, granted, you could set them as like a limited user, but then that would lock them from accessing certain content. But that's my only assumption, is like it's creating a user on your account that, you know, can only view their shows and they can't access account information, because that's always been the fear of sharing out your account with somebody. You have to do it with somebody that you trust. Otherwise, they can mess with your account. Interesting. So, yeah, good on you, Netflix, for successfully, I don't know, doing that. And that's the weird thing, because they technically do have means of being able to tell if somebody is sharing out an account. Now, granted, I think you can technically use a VPN to make it look like you're both coming from the same location. That makes sense to me that would be I don't actually use VPN, but I can assume based on my knowledge of how VPN works, you could technically do that. So it makes you question, like, they know that people are sharing accounts. They have the statistics in their databases of how many people are sharing accounts. So it's just a matter of, like, do you think that doing this is going to improve yourself, or is it going to, do you think it's going, if you do this, it's going to cause people to suddenly subscribe to you for $20 a month versus just not? It doesn't make too much sense to me, but it's their company. I guess they can do what they want. It's just a little bit of a sad thing that you had a company that was so embracing the idea of sharing accounts to suddenly go, nah, no more, because we're obviously bleeding out money right now because we keep paying into crappy shows that nobody wants to watch. But yeah, maybe make better content and then people will sub for longer. I don't know. My crazy thought here. But yeah. Anyways, we'll see where that goes. Moving on, let's go back to some fun news. Kodansha has announced that If I Became a Dog, I Would Be Picked Up by the Person I Like manga is getting an anime adaptation. It's going to be premiering in 2023, so just a little bit of ways away.
Just to save some trouble, Crunchyroll, don't bother.
Yeah, please don't. Just High Dive, please. I am liking the fact that High Dive has... Well, and we'll talk about that later, but we have a ways to go, so please think about it for the next year. Don't touch this show. It's going to be premiering in 2023. The Japanese title is Inu ni Natara Suki na Hito ni Hiro Warata. This one is the dog's viewpoint romantic comedy manga, centers on the protagonist who suddenly wakes up one day to find out that he has been turned into the pet of his cool and beautiful classmate, Karen Inukai. Nice last name. While Karen is cool and expressionless at school, at home, she dotes on her pet dog. Well, big surprise there.
So, yes, yeah. She definitely dotes.
She dotes. Dotes. The dog's cute. The characters are really cute. So it definitely has... This is supposed to be an ecchi show, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I'm assuming the moment that somebody posted this on Discord, Chris had to go, I must research this for this
discussion. I had to research it. This is very important information.
So two things that Chris really likes, dogs and cute girls. So definitely Chris is going to research, quote unquote, this whole ordeal. So yeah, this is one that hopefully certain groups does not touch, but we know they will. We know they will. Stupidly, they will.
Yeah, I would put this in the as far as I've gotten into it, I would put this in the same category as Why Are You Here, Sensei? So it's bordering on the edge of might as well be hentai levels. But yeah, when it comes down to it, it's just mostly, as far as I can tell, mostly just ecchi, just for the sake of being ecchi.
Yeah.
Absolutely gonna be fun. I can't wait to see this one. I would say that it's probably gonna be short. I can't see it as being a full length show at all.
Thanks, Chris, for the input. Chris, I like whenever Chris researches on things. It's like, oh, Chris got input. That's great though. I'm definitely looking forward to that. It looks cute. Next one we have is Guild of Depravity manga is getting an anime adaptation. This was announced on the official website. It was announced with an official website opening. The Japanese title is Futoku no Guild. The story follows a skilled hunter, Kikuru Maran, who has decided to retire out of fear of wasting his youth. One day, a guild staff member suggests that he go on a quest with a new female martial artist named Hitamu Kyon. However, she keeps getting hit by monsters one after another. She keeps getting hit. Interesting. I mean, she has got up some big targets on her, so it's from the creator of Magi.
This is Magi?
I just went back to the joke about her having these things in front of her that would get hit because she likes scarring on chest.
I was like, that's very different artwork.
So I'm guessing if this is a joke, if this is like a comedy type thing, maybe it's just like one of those aspects of like she keeps running out there and just getting beat around and he keeps like, stop running forward kind of thing. But I don't know, that the synopsis is very, very vague about that. So
characters are adorable. Mm-hmm. What is Redo of Healer?
We have an Inu character.
Down at the bottom.
It's just the director that's going to be working on it. It's Redo of Healer. That's scary. No, I'm joking. Well, I mean, we have quite a selection here. We also have the character designs from Queen's Blade, so that's great. We have the series competition by that time I got reincarnated as slime. That's not as bad. So at TNK, which I don't think they've really done too many that I would note it, but yeah, she definitely looks cute. She looks like an Inu character. Would that be Inu or would that be Neko? That looks Inu. Based on the tail, looks like
Inu. The tail looks Inu.
But yeah, definitely look cute. All right. Moving on. This one I don't really have too much information on. I really do need to start really digging into this, maybe make a video on it. I've really kind of just skimmed the surface of it. I didn't even see it coming. It's kind of one of those things where something's unfolding. You're like, wait, this is happening? But apparently Soul Press is dying. I didn't even know that they were dying, but apparently they have come out on social media, or at least the social media, the person that's working on their social media account has basically came out on Twitter and said they can no longer, the company itself can no longer provide refunds for 90% of the orders. So yeah, apparently their CEO disappeared. So I don't know, tax evasions or something, but the entire company is going under, which really sucks because they got
some solid.
Chivalry Fell Knight, mm-hmm. I think they picked up. So there's quite a few licenses they picked up that hopefully somebody else will kind of come in and say, okay, we'll handle it from here on. But with licenses, that's always kind of a big question mark. It kind of just requires, I think, them to sell the license out to somebody else. But I think that requires a little bit of the original company to be involved. But yeah, so Soul Press, I don't think I was really keeping too much of an eye on, but it's still kind of a sucky thing. I mean, obviously, for the people that were working with Soul Press, it's a really crummy thing. But at the same time, it's one of those things where you kind of hope that a lot of the licenses that they were picking up doesn't get kind of lost with them.
Yeah.
But
that's the biggest thing, is you don't want those particular names to just fall by the wayside and nobody will be able to touch them for like 10 years or something like that. I mean, we've already gotten some licenses that get stuck that are stuck like that.
The Game Master has logged into another world. Chivalry Fell Knight, yeah, is the big one that I think was probably a lot of people were really upset about. And they got all the way up to 5, or at least that they were planning on releasing 5. I'm not sure if they actually did get it out there. I guess that's really the biggest one, unless some of these other ones are something that somebody was big on. Strongest Gamer, saving 80,000 gold in another world for my retirement. That sounds interesting. why shouldn't a detestable demon lord fall in love? Yeah, that's a big bummer. Mangas, they have Blend S, and is the Order of Rabbit.
Yeah,
that's a bummer. Yeah, that sucks. Definitely sucks. The status is defunct on Wikipedia. Yeah, that's a bummer. Hopefully they get that situated. It's kind of one of those things where I think it kind of comes down to just bad management, and to have a lot of people kind of suffer because of that bad management really does suck. So
yeah, it does. It's one of those things of the person probably had the best intentions and got kind of in over his head and not knowing what to do in this situation. And that's kind of one of the downsides. It's like, you want to fix the problem. You see a problem, you want to fix it, but and this is if that person is actually listening, look, people mess up. you can stumble and you can fall. Get back up and do something. Don't just let it all fall to the wayside.
Yep, there's a list right there. Sole Press is set as forfeited, which means business is suspended and forfeited by the franchise tax board and failure to meet tax requirements. So the tax evasion. No, the part that I was really kind of curious about this whole news bit, and I haven't really been able to find anything on it, was they were talking about Bookwalker removing their books from them, both Sole Press and Penny Press. And the company had stated to, or Bookwalker had stated to ANN that the takedowns were taking place by the request of the original Japanese publishers. So that makes me wonder if it was an issue of either them not paying properly to the original Japanese publisher, or if it's more of an aspect of there being something in it that I doubt it's a translation issue that they became aware of, but probably more of an aspect of not paying them properly. So that's the part that I really want to kind of look into to see if there's any information on that. So either way, it's a crummy issue, but massive credits though to the social media manager. People were questioning, like, why does a social media manager have this much control? It's like, well, usually with small companies, it's usually like one person that's doing something. They go, hey, handle the social media if you can. But no, I've seen some reports that the social media manager was like going through all the efforts of trying to get, like, with everything burning down, they were literally staying there in their own time to make sure that people got all the refunds they could get, essentially handling all that stuff while everything was burning. And I think that's like massive credits to them. I think that's one of those things of, I hope they find another job, because that's proof that that's somebody that really does care for their clients and their clientele. So yeah, just super credits to them for kind of trying to make right what really essentially went terribly wrong. So
yeah, the parts that I was hearing, that's something that should be taken into consideration, whether or not obviously the person who is trying to run this is failed, and I hope all the best that they pull themselves out of whatever flunk they're in. That social media manager needs all the props in the world. That's a traits of a good somebody who's tried really hard.
Yeah. All right, moving back to positive things again. Go back and forth. G-Kids has announced that they have acquired North American rights for the Mikoto Shinkai's works, including Voice of the Distant Star, The Place Promised in Our Early Days, 5 Centimeters Per Second, and Children Who Chase Lost Voices. So pretty cool little grab there. I'm guessing these are obviously a lot of titles that were already had releases that were being done in North America, I think through ADV Films. I don't know that 5 Centimeters Per Second was, because I remember I got that one, the Japanese version of it, just so I can have it. But yeah, it looks like somebody's probably trying to pull it all together, do maybe a Mikoto Shinkai collection. They obviously know that they're a very popular creator right now, so trying to bank on that, obviously. But good on them. Good on them, I guess. But yeah. This is some sad news. We're just going to go back and forth. Super sad news for Andrew specifically. The official website for Kodansha's Nakayoshi magazine has announced that the manga artist Mia Ikumi has passed away on March 7th. They had a private funeral and everything for them. For those that don't know, this is the mangaka for Tokyo Mew Mew, the original manga for that. Obviously, they did the art for Tokyo Mew Mew, the original manga. Of course, the writer was Reiko Yoshida, which I don't know that I knew that. For those who don't know, Reiko Yoshida is the one that works alongside Naoko Yamada with a lot of their titles, with Kyoto Animation titles and stuff, as well as Hike Story. So yeah, big bummer for me. Definitely love their work. So that's the huge loss for, obviously, for their family and everything, but also for those that were big fans of that series and the lives that it touched. Because obviously this is one of those magical girls that were in the lives of a lot of people when they were younger. So yeah, definitely a huge loss. So yeah.
Always hate to see that.
Yeah. Moving on, we have Spy Classroom has been apparently greenlit for an anime. This is the light novel series Spy Classroom, or Spy Room, depending on which translation you take. But yeah, this is a title that apparently is going to be... They don't have a date set for it yet, but it was announced during a live stream, Fantasia Bunko Online Festival 2022. They have released a key art for it already. Yen Press has the synopsis as following a devastating military conflict, countries fight for their... Fight their wars in the shadows. One unusual spy, Klaus, has never failed the job despite his quirks, and he is building a team to take on an impossible mission, one with over 90% chance of failure. However, his chosen members are all washouts with no practical experience. They'll have to use every trick in their book, and some that aren't, to prove that they are up to the task. So, is this a new Gunsmith Girls? Gunslinger Girls. I'm mixing Gunslinger Girls and Gunsmith Cats the same vein. So, cute girls with guns. I think we are in a drought of cute girls with guns. I think here recently, I randomly out of nowhere, Unbreakable Machine Doll just popped in my head, and I'm like, whatever happened to like that and Black Bullet, like all these really cool like cute girls with guns. Yeah, and obviously, Gunslinger Girl, all those cool shows that we used to have all the time where cute girls have guns.
I don't know. Maybe they're coming back.
Maybe they're coming back. Maybe Spy Room will be the epic return of cute girls with guns.
Are you sure that that show that's on this season?
That show that's on this season. Yes, Chris, that one is...
Based on the mobile game.
Yes, based on a mobile game. That one is definitely a return of that whole thing.
It's cute girls and they have guns.
Girls Frontline's not
girls
cute,
frontline,
that's it. Young enough girls. I mean, there's some girls in there that are younger looking, but I'm talking about, like, again, Gunslinger Girl type age.
I don't know.
Girls that shouldn't be holding those guns that are holding those guns. Younger, cuter girls. But yeah, there you go. Moving on, we have Kyoto Animation has announced that they have decided to permanently close the Kyo Annie and Do Shop physical merchandise store in Uji, Kyoto. They've announced that it was a tough decision for us to close the space where many fans and friends have given us sincere, warm thoughts and sympathy. We now have some staff joined, shared with the same vision, therefore... We determined that to reconstruct the store space into a workplace to provide more sufficient work to meet fans' requests. We truly appreciate your kind understanding. The online shop will remain open as usual, but again, they will be closing down the physical shop going forward. So I think this is one thing that during the whole obviously terrible incident that occurred with Kyoto Animation, their studio, it was one of the things that when people were trying to support them, that was one method that people were using. They obviously had methods to donate directly when they had the crowdfunding stuff that was going on. But this was a cool way for people to, you know, buy merchandise and support Kyoto Animation during that time. So it is nice that despite them losing the actual physical shop that you can enter and buy stuff, they will still have an online shop that you can still support them directly. Because I think very few other studios have direct methods of supporting them, whereas Kyoto Animation has always kind of been... obviously with a lot to do with the fact that a lot of their stuff is their own properties. It makes it really easy for people to directly support them, but it's cool to have at least a still remaining open. It does suck that if we ever decide to go over there, that won't have that open store. Maybe there'll be other things that you can visit instead, but yeah, I don't know. That's like a huge hit just because, like I said, the online store is still open, but we'll respect their decision on that regard. So yeah. Yeah. And I kind of alluded to it earlier, but yeah, Sentai Filmworks is apparently back, so that's a good thing. I think this is the best sign that we have so far that AMC's buyout of Sentai Filmworks is possibly a good thing. It does seem like with spring specifically, Sentai Filmworks is coming back swinging, and that is because they have, I think they're still announcing more, but currently that I've had listed, they've picked up Onipon, which again is the one with the demon girls or the Oni girls that are going into Tokyo and they're trying to dispel myths about Onis by using Onipon. Demon Girl Next Door Season 2, which I'm super thrilled about. I cannot wait for that series to come back. I Quit Being a Hero, Ya Boy Kong Ming, which I think was the first one they announced they were getting, which is a PA Works show, and The Executioner and Her Way of Life is going to be on there as well, which I think pretty much all those except for maybe I'm Quit Being a Hero, I'm super excited for. Like, Executioner and Her Way of Life is the one where it's like a this executioner girl that's killing people that are isekai-ing into this other world, which I think could be a really interesting twist to the isekai, where anybody that's coming over to the world is possibly bad and she has to execute them. Ya Boy Kong Ming obviously is going to be like a fish out of water story about Kong Mi coming to Tokyo and obviously being a fish out of water. And then, like I said, Demon Girl Next Door coming back and Onipon are, I think, are big hits for me. So they definitely have a great lineup already. So I'll be definitely interested to see how that turns out. Your thoughts?
Yeah, most all of these I've been pretty much super excited about. So I can't wait to see a lot of those. In particular, definitely Demon Girl Next Door and Executioner definitely caught my attention. So I can't wait to see that. Of course, Onipon by far, definitely excited about. So yeah, I'm all over this. I love the fact that that Sentai's doing a lot of this.
Yeah, and I think for like the last few seasons, they've been like picking up maybe one, maybe two shows, and so it was always a hard sell for us because everybody's like, "Hey, I want to support this," but they don't have like ad supports in their system. Which, again, I'm still holding hope that with AMC being a part of them, maybe they might be able to get, you know, solid, some sort of connections into the world of, you know, advertising. That way they can actually pull advertising onto their service, because you typically, if you're a smaller streaming service, it's hard to get in with a lot of these advertising companies. So I'm hoping that with AMC being a part of them, maybe they might be able to do a free ad based type of service. But the big hang up obviously was people were not okay with getting a sub just for one or two titles in a season, whereas having a really solid group of five, maybe more going forward, shows to have in their catalog, it makes it a lot less painful to have that sub. And then of course we also have Funimation's disappearing for next season, so you can just move that sub right over to High Dive and support them with that whole thing. Because again, as we mentioned before, with things going on with Crunchyroll, it's better than ever to be supporting another service. Now, granted, High Dive can go in that same direction, but the hope is that they retain what they've been doing so far with High Dive, which is not censoring stuff like that. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes from here, but that's definitely exciting news, and I'm definitely happy for Sentai to be at least going and swinging with this next season, because it's an insane season. It's an absolutely insane season. I thought at some point they got Tsubaki, but I don't think they've announced that yet. That the list, I just checked it, and that's the only five they have listed on their blog. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. And that's it. That's all the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you, that's important to us. Let's dive into our community. We have some questions from our community members. Again, if you want to ask a question, we have at takuspirit.com. There's a contact us button there, or you can go to our Discord channel. We have a questions area or channel there that you can ask your questions. Just like Havoc did. Havoc said, rate my top three anime studios. Says Trigger, Science Saru, and Dean. Is Dean a joke?
I don't know. I think their entire list is a joke. So,
burn, jeez.
No, in all honesty, it's a 50-50 on every one of them. Trigger, for the most part, I'm very, very high on. I like most everything that Trigger puts out. Science Saru, I completely flip the other way. I would be hard pressed to find something that I do like of Science Saru. I mean, look up their list if you don't mind.
Like Ping Pong the Animation, Izokin, the Tokyo Earthquake one, Japan Sinks, Devilman, Crybaby.
Yeah.
And then
you're not impressing me much at all.
The only one that I like of there that came out recently was Hike Story. Hike Story was like the one that I actually watched up there that I really enjoyed. So,
and that's the thing. I know that I'm going to get a lot of hate because everybody loves Science Saru. It's just never been I don't like their artwork.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it,
that's
the frustrating thing. It has nothing to do. I think they do pretty solid animation-wise. I've never cared for their artwork. Studio Dean has been an absolute coin flip. When they're hot, they are absolutely fantastic. When they are not, they're one that you kind of want to stay way far away. So,
stay far, far away.
Stay far, far away. And that's that, to give you an idea, one of our favorite shows of all time is Shogun Roku, Rakugo Shinju. And at the same time, we have made no bones about how much we are very disappointed with Fate Stay Night. So it's one of those things of, it really depends on the show when it comes down to Studio Dean.
Yeah, I think Studio Dean covers way too much stuff. So it's that's why I was saying it's a joke one, because I mean it's an aspect of, there is a lot of stuff in there that's really good, but there's such a mixed bag that it's really hard to say that it's not as if they do anything visually. I mean, you have to think about visually versus I guess more of the content itself. Like Shogun Roku is a fantastic story, but that's not Dean's story. But the thing that makes me go, okay, but Studio Dean did a fantastic job on Shogun Roku is the fact that how they put together that show embodied the art of Rakugo. Like the perspective shots, the visual style, all the artistry they put into that show set it aside from it just being a story that was really fantastic. Now, when it comes to everything else, like when it comes to Konosuba, yes, they embody the goofiness and the artistry of the comedy of that show, but at the same time, it's not a fantastic looking show. Same with everything else that they really have in their catalog. They're not fantastic looking shows. They're just shows that, you know, they just don't look good. And that's the problem that I have with Dean. It's like setting aside artistry and the animation from the actual writing, I guess. Now, for me, when it comes to Science Sorrow, that's kind of a... there's where I struggle with my own self. Like, I understand, like, I get the artistic value of Science Sorrow. I think they do some incredibly artistic stuff with their stuff. But I'm with Chris, where I don't like their visual style. They usually go for more of a... Yes, more probably realistic looking perspectives and body shapes and stuff like that, that fits more into a real realm, not an anime realm. But at the same time, it's just not a good style to me. And yeah, like things like Izukin and stuff, they were just character designs that I did not like. And as much as I got heat for that, because, oh my gosh, you don't like your characters not looking like cutesy anime characters. Like, well, no, they didn't look like real people either. I mean, they're anime characters. We're not dealing with real people here. Now, with that said, when it came to things like Hike's story, I was like, this is where their style shines. Like, this was I could not see any other studio pulling off Hike's story like they did. Science Saru nailed that art style. They basically pulled the old Japanese scrolls to life. It was that beautiful. And I also acknowledge things like Ping Pong, the animation, even though I haven't watched it, I get what they did there, and I think it was a really fantastic work. It's just I've never really cared for their art style, and so it's a big struggle for me. Trigger's the same way for me. I've never been a fan of Trigger. I've enjoyed their recent doings with SSSS, Gridman, and Dinozenon. That's been the first case where I've really enjoyed their shows. Now, there's been other shows. I think it was like here recently, I actually realized that I actually like more of their shows than I don't like their shows. So I don't think I'm as big of a negative on Trigger as I think most people believe, or even myself believed for at some point. But I wasn't a big fan of Kill la Kill. I really loved Little Witch Academia, not the TV series. Lulico was okay, but Dinozenon, I enjoyed Kiznaiver. BNA was fine. I really enjoyed that one as well. I love Darling in the Franxx. Again, the SSSS Gridman. The Supernatural Battles became commonplace. When I really kind of stood back and looked at their catalog, I actually like more than I don't like. So I guess I am a fan of Trigger in the end. As much as I think I was always stuck on Kill la Kill. Like, for the longest time, everybody was trying to get me to watch Kill la Kill, and I never did watch it, and I had my issues with it. Mainly around the idea that I felt like they were just reusing animations over and over again. But in the end, everything else I really enjoyed. So, and I like what the story and crazy stuff they were doing in Kill la Kill. I just, I didn't, I didn't get the hype over the animation because I felt like it was just repeated animations over and over again. It was crazy bombastic animations.
It's so funny. I never really looked at Kill la Kill as an animation piece. And so maybe that's really kind of what it got so stuck on is the fact of I thought Kill la Kill was just an obnoxiously weird show that I just enjoyed. And it's one of those funny things when Andrew points out when somebody points out the animation thing, it's like, yeah, I could see that. I totally see how they have a knack of hiding how they do a lot of their animation. So yeah, like Andrew was saying, they
miserably
repeat
with Andrew though. You can't hide it from Andrew
It's one of those things you can see it. I don't care. It does get annoying once in a while. I see it mostly in like shonens and stuff like that, where you see the where they're trying to hide this cheat of this looks cool, doesn't it? It's this cool moment, and you're like, no, you should be doing that a lot more fluidly. Instead, you're doing a big old. I just seen this last night. I'm probably on Orient. There was this something that was coming towards another character, and it was just expanding it and making it bigger, but it was actually to make it look like it's coming at the character. And it was like, that's a cheat right there. You didn't take the time to actually animate that.
It's always the worst whenever you see like the actual animation, because they're obviously doing it digitally anymore. So it's like, it's always bad whenever you see like the lines are getting bigger. Like the outline of the character gets like super big and bold because they're literally zooming in on the shot. That's always the worst. I haven't seen that in a long time though, but no, I think where we get the issue with with Trigger, obviously, is when you get into really Trigger stuff, like Inferno Cop and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I hate that.
I think that's where, Ninja Slayer, that's where you get into like the super Trigger stuff that I think the big diehard fans are like, you have to love this or you don't love Trigger. I never did. That stuff never hit me.
Yeah, the first time I seen somebody mentioned Trigger, you should look into this. And I glanced at it for a split second and I turned it right back off. I'm not into that. I've always had a hard time with I hate to say it, but it's flash based kind of.
It looks
animation.
Like flash based. Yeah.
And I've never
we've seen on Newgrounds and stuff a long time.
Yeah. I've never been big on it. I mean, even Newgrounds. I mean, I glance at it for a few minutes. I get the joke and then I move on. But to watch an entire series based on that, no, I ain't going for that.
So yeah, assuming that you're not just making this list of the top three things that we talk about the most and criticize, it's one of those things where, again, Dean, I think, is a mixed bag. They do a lot of stuff. None of it's really stand out from their perspective, like Dean did this. It's usually, if it's a really good show, it's because the writing's really good. Except for probably Konosuba and Shogun Roku. I think they did something unique with those two shows with their studio that set it aside from this, the story. Science Otto, I acknowledge that they are a very artistic group. It's not my style that I enjoy, even though I loved Hike's story. I think it was perfect. And Trigger, apparently I like more of their stuff than I don't. And even in the end, it's still a lot of shows that are not like my top list of all time. So they're good studios, just none of my big hits are in them except for, like I said, Studio Dean with Shogun Roku. But yeah, I know what you did there, Havoc. I know what you're doing there. I know what you're doing. You're
trying to bring more hate on us.
Yeah. Yeah, so what do you think about these studios that you guys keep bashing? I hope that your top three, though. If they're your top three, then that means that those shows are great and you enjoy them, and that's great. Bacon Chips messaged us on Discord as well, said, here's my top 10, rate them. Anime, top 10. 10, he has Higurashi When They Cry Season 1. Pulls off an unsettling horror very well and got me into the whole psychological horror of anime, even though there are very few.
You're a cruel, cruel person.
Higurashi When They Cry, what would I rate that at? Because this is the original series, I'm assuming, because you don't have new on there. The original series definitely did a lot better than the new series with its story, obviously, because they were trying something different with the story with the new series. I'm trying to think of what all season one covers, though. That's the problem.
I said it was simple. It's you're a cruel, cruel person. That's my rating.
I'll go with an 8. I'm gonna go with an 8. It's a series that I will always love. It's one of my favorite psychologicals of all time. It's hard for me to really gauge, though, because I don't really remember exactly where it ends off the story. But overall, Higurashi is an 8 for me. I love it. Hinamatsuri, so many really funny moments and just really sweet moments. Anzu, best girl. Yeah, that's a 10 for me. Hinamatsuri was fantastic. It was just so many laughs, super sweet. And yeah, this the wolf eating song was great.
I'm going to hold out hope that you don't have anything, you have something better past Hinamatsuri. But fantastic choice there.
Oof. Are you dogging on Hinamatsuri?
No, I'm saying, why is it so low on the list? It should be higher on his list.
Well, apparently number 8 is Your Lie in April. This was my second anime, and I went to, and after finishing Sword Art Online, and went into it thinking it was like a comedic romance. But man, I wasn't expecting an emotional roller coaster. Lol. Last episode is perhaps one of the best episodes in all anime.
Go ahead, Chris. I'm not going to say anything.
Fantastic show. I really love that show, and I don't blame you for loving it.
Yeah, visually really great. A lot of great music points and everything. My big hang up was always the one. It was literally screaming at you what the story was going to do from the very beginning, which bugged me. But at the same time, I really didn't like the very jarring comedic beats that were in it that I think kind of ruined a lot of the show for me. But was not my favorite. I have to rate it 5. Sorry, I'll give it a 5. Middle ground for me. Hey, keep in mind, this is one of those funny things that I get, because I think even Wormy was pointing this out on one of his streams. He was looking at my Mal or my Annie List ratings, and I'm like, I don't rate, like, when I say like a 7, that doesn't mean the show's terrible. Like, everybody thinks that if it's a 7 or under, it's a terrible show in your opinion. It's like, no, I just 5 is middle ground for me. Like, it's so-so. It's in the middle for me. If it was like a 2, that would be a terrible show. So, anyways. Number 7, Smile Down the Runway. Interesting. Was absolutely hyped for this series when it got announced and lived up to my expectations. Always had a tiny interest in fashion industry, and this anime delivered. I'm so mixed on the show because I think it didn't do enough with the main girl, the heroine. It got way too focused on the guy. And so that kind of was a little bit down for me, but even still, it was a really good show for me. I think it was a solid, very solid slice of life, work industry type of show that definitely had a lot of drama beats in it that I really enjoyed. The art style was really fantastic as well, and they had so many powerful emotional moments with the characters and the growth of the characters. So, again, I think my only issue that I had is that they didn't have enough of the other girl, which it literally opens up like, here's the other girl, let's follow her story, and then suddenly he's like, oh, but no, let's follow this guy instead. I really need another season because I think it'd probably get more into her and start to really dive into her character as well and have her grow. But, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think I gave it like a 8 or a 9 when I rated it.
Yeah, I absolutely love this show to death. I love a lot of the moments that it portrayed. It was one of those shows that, for me, it hit a certain itch that I really wanted scratched of this kind of exploring a quote-unquote industry of some sort, usually in the fashion, it being this particular one being in the fashion industry. We're getting it with this season with Dress Up Darling from the cosplay type industry. There's a lot of stuff like that that I really, really enjoy, and getting it presented to us in a absolutely aesthetically pleasing way is just fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, number 6, he has Sleepy Princess in the Demon Castle. One of the funniest anime ever, Nuff said. Love this show to death. I want to say I gave this either a 9 or a 10 when I rated it. It's just a phenomenally hilarious show. And it was so funny because coming into it, I was afraid it was going to be another Beelzebub. What was it? As Beelzebub Deems or something like that. It was like this show about this girl that's Beelzebub that all she does is sleep. And the cover art made me believe that was going to be the case. I didn't like the art style when I first seen the cover art too. So it was like, everything said you're not going to enjoy this when I came to the show. And literally the moment I watched the show, I'm like, this is just such a good show. Like, it was so funny because it wasn't about the sleepy princess. It was always about like everybody's reaction to the crazy stuff that she would do just because she wants a good night's sleep. The comedy was just spot on. The reaction of the characters around her was great. I always remember the scene where she's they're like on this discussion with this other demon lord on this little TV screen thing, and in the background, because he just kidnapped the princess, in the background you can see the princess walk by, and she's like, she's looking for materials, so she's like just ripping the clothes off of him, and everybody's responding like he's not reacting to the fact that she's walking around stealing stuff behind him. It was so good. So
yeah, that show is absolutely hilarious and absolutely deserves a place on everybody's list if you give it a shot.
Working season 1 through 3. This show has become my Office replacement. I watched it over 10 times before Crunchyroll took it off. Screw you, Crunchyroll. And it's just really funny and has a great character. I wonder if that's one that went over to Sentai. I don't know if that was a hangover from the Sentai Filmworks thing. No, because Aniplex was releasing that on video, I thought. Let me look for Working on High Dive. No. That's a bummer. That's a bad loss, unfortunately. It's been out there for a long time, so I imagine the license just dropped. So that's a big bummer. No, I've always enjoyed Working. I enjoyed the original series more than WWW Working. I'm assuming you're talking about the original series because you have three seasons there, and I think WWW Working maybe had one or two seasons.
One, but, if I remember right.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the original Working. Really cool. And it was funny because when I first started watching it, I didn't think I'd like it because it has a Manphobia character in it, which is like a female character that anywhere near a man, she like just punches him. I thought that was going to get old really quickly, but she was really super cute. So it's like, gosh darn it, why do you have to be so cute? But I really enjoyed it. The cast is fantastic. Yeah, really fun workplace type comedy story. So I really enjoyed it. Kind of wanted more of that series, but it's another, again, kind of to your point with them pulling off Crunchyroll, it was one of the ones that I wanted a physical copy of because, again, that's one of those aspects of streaming services is that eventually they disappear and kind of want a copy of it. So, bummer. You know, maybe Aniplex only had WWW Working. That's probably what they had. But yeah, good stuff. Did you watch the original series?
Nope, that's on my list of shame.
You watched
especially WWW. With as much as you... Yeah, I did watch WWW.
Yeah.
That one was... It's one of those that I just never got around to it.
Those darn round two-its, they're hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
Let me check... yeah, Wagnaria. Maybe they have it listed as Wagnaria on High Dive. Yeah, Aniplex has Wagnaria. So that's weird. That's weird that we would pull it down because... Unless they just lost the license for the streaming service... streaming. Because they still sell the Blu-ray. Anywho, that's good stuff right there. Number 4 is My Love Story, just a feel-good anime all around. If I'm ever feeling down, I just turn to this show, and it's all smiles. Takeo, best boy.
Love it.
It's another 5 for me. It's another 5 for me, unfortunately. Number 3, One Punch Man, Season 1, best action show. I like how you specify Season 1. Best action show and some great comedy in it as well. It's a 4 for me, unfortunately. I understand people's love for it. It's just, it never worked for me. The comedy just never hit. And it's literally just a comedy. It's about the one punch. It does get better. I will admit later on, it does get a lot better. But early on it was a really rough ride for me, but, I understand people's love for it. And I all the power to people to enjoy that series. Yeah. Season 2 is rough though. I'll admit Season 2 was rough. Story-wise, it was getting a lot better as well. It's another one of those things where I kind of wish that they kept the same studio and kind of kept giving it justice that it deserved. Because in Season 1, they did a lot of really crazy, cool animation stuff with it. So, yeah.
It's one of those shows that opening up, you get the joke very quickly. It doesn't hold its cards back. The weird thing about that show is that when it starts to... Because I hate to admit that I do kind of fall into this category of I wasn't really sure about it at towards the first few episodes. I mean, the first episode, it doesn't hold back, shows you what this is the joke. You start to question, okay, am I really going to be watching, you know, at the time 12 episodes of this dude just one-shotting everything? After a couple of episodes, it does start to kind of reveal what is its real cards that it was holding back. And that's where I did start kind of enjoying it. This kind of idea of the business side of it and all that stuff. That was kind of an interesting twist to it. And so I did enjoy some of that aspect. But I never did really get completely full bore into it. So I'm in this of two minds when it comes to One Punch Man. I do kind of enjoy it. I think it has a very hard, you will have a hard time getting into it. If you don't just jump full bore into I love the concept of a guy that's just blowing your stuff away, then you probably won't like the stuff that I liked in the latter episodes.
Yeah. Number two, he has Beastars season 1 and 2 and the final season coming up here soon. Lego She is all he says is Lego She smile face. It's such a good show. Like Beastars is probably one of the most interesting stories in recent history of anime, just because, like I've said before, it's really the perspective of like animal instincts being in a human environment, because it's literally beast people that are trying to live like humans do. Just, you know, there's schools, there's shops and all this kind of stuff that you normally see in a human society, but it's from a perspective of the carnivores and herbivores living side by side and the instincts getting a hold of them. And I loved how they kind of portray those instincts and the switch that kind of goes off between control and not control. All those things were really so beautifully done with that series. And now the only thing that I really don't like about Beastars is that its existence is preventing us from getting a Land of Lustrous season 2, but hopefully after they do the final season of Beastars, we'll get that. But I've loved Beastars. I think it's a phenomenal series. I've always enjoyed it. It had a little bit of a hiccup point with the whole training montage in the second season, but it's so fascinating. Everything about that show is fascinating, and I love the character study that they do with that series. It's one of those ones where it's like, Chris, you need to be watching this show because it's so fascinating what they do with these characters, and I cannot wait for that final season. Hopefully they wrap things up in a really solid way, but yeah, it 10 for me, probably. The last one he has is Violet Evergarden as number one. The anime that made me the weeb I am today. Well, thank you, Violet Evergarden. This was my third show I've watched since my family only had Netflix. Beautiful animation, story, and characters. Makes you cry every time. It is so good. Like, Violet Evergarden is so good. And it's so great. I'm so happy to see it come back with a movie with Kyoto Animations. Kyoto Animation just does just gorgeous stuff, and they just went ham with Violet Evergarden. So like, you have several aspects. You have, yes, Kyoto Animation's amazing, beautiful art style, great visuals. Then you have like these very, in most cases, very either wholesome or extremely tragic stories that it's telling with each of these stories that she goes around and writes. It's just everything about the show just pulls out all the stops and just rips tears out of you and pulls so much emotion out of you. And yeah, Violet's story herself is a really great. It's funny because Violet's story in one sense is a story we've heard before, but it's done in a different way that I think just invokes emotion and a sort of care that you want to kind of invest yourself into. So yeah, 10 for me. It's fantastic. I love it to death.
Yeah, both are absolutely fantastic shows. I absolutely agree.
Both? You watched Beastars?
I watched the first season.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I just jumped ahead of you there and assumed. yeah, thanks, Bacon Chips, for the list for us to criticize. Yari writes in and says, how do I boil pasta? You don't. You boil the water and you put the pasta in it. Any comment? Disagree?
Well,
agree?
I was going to...
You can't boil pasta. You boil the water.
Well, I was going to point out, I don't know how Yari boils pasta.
Well, he's asking how you.
No, he's asking how he boils pasta.
Oh, how do I boil pasta?
I don't know. I don't sit there.
That is a curious question. Yes, he could be trying to trick us into thinking that they do boil the pasta when they don't. They just boil the water.
That's true.
And then
but see, now, if you go from the anime perspective, you place the pot on the cooker or the stove, and then you turn on the water, and then you get distracted by some cute anime girl, usually a loli emoto, And they distract you for a few minutes, and then suddenly you smell a burning, something burning. You turn around, look back at it, and your water has turned into a purple pixelated mass that ruins dinner and makes you throw up,
rainbow sparkles. Well, no, they in the anime, they never have you boiling the pasta. It's always the cute girl that's cooking it, and then they fail miserably.
Yeah, that's true too.
Because that's their quirk that they fail at is cooking.
Or you have the cute tsundere who thinks that they can handle anything and refuses to admit that they don't know how to cook, and then they do that.
No, quintessential quintuplets, the tsundere was the good cook. So there you go. That broke your entire logic there. Starcase says, after the recent move to Discord, what are some of your changes you've noticed with the community so far? A lot more communicative. Communicative?
Yes.
Communicative. It's been a lot of fun. I've really been enjoying the Discord. Talking to everybody has been fantastic. It was a little scary at first because it was like moving really fast. We were getting a lot of people joining really quickly. But I think it's settled down to a really manageable point where just, you know, spurs of conversation is really all I ask for. It's just if people want to discuss something, they're able to come there and just discuss it rather than it just be like a... It would probably be nice for most people to have like a constantly flowing conversation, but I think it's nice to have little spurs of conversations instead so that people are able to get engaged with it as it kind of, you know, happens naturally. So I don't want forced conversation to be happening.
It hasn't been this chatty since a while ago on the forums, yeah.
Yeah, it does take me back to the old forum days when things were really kind of moving for us. But again, I think a lot of it's just to be able to communicate to people and have a better connection with our community. It's kind of one of those things where why didn't you do it earlier? But it is what it is. We're enjoying it. I do wish that people got into the voice chat a little more. That's my only issue. It was terrible because we were on the road and suddenly people were jumping into the voice chat. And I'm like, why now when I'm driving? I thought about jumping in there and just talking while I'm driving on the road, but I
thought about that too.
I didn't want to distract from driving because we were driving a lot, but yeah, I love it a lot, and hopefully more people join the Discord and reach out. If you guys ever want to chat, just at me on there. I'm always welcome to chat. TCB says, I've arrived. Okay, I got a decent question. You guys did bring... This text is really small for me for right now. I got a decent question for you. You guys did bring up before in a recent episode, but I got thinking about it more after the fact. With the recent news of Nintendo starting to process of shutting down older virtual libraries of 3DS, Wii U, and the ever-present persistent discussion of game preservation privacy, can you guys imagine a hypothetical scenario of that happening in the anime sphere? We just talked about Working disappearing. Or has it been moving along in a similar way already with that? I don't know if I articulated this well or not. Yeah, that's always been the thing with physical distribution. That's why I've always supported physical distribution, because it's always that desire for them to make a physical copy that you can purchase. Now, yes, I fully acknowledge the fact that a lot of these discs that are up on my shelves eventually will no longer work. They don't have a million-year lifespan. They will eventually decay. Everything media-wise will eventually decay. So, yes, the question mark really does come up is how can we preserve a lot of these shows when, for one half, the physical media themselves decay. The other half, you have the digital copy, which can obviously be can be copied to new storage devices over and over again until it's, you know, kept and preserved for life. But also the aspect of availability of that copy. So it's like, it's one of those aspects of like, I support physical distribution because I always have it and I can access it whenever I want. The digital version of that preservation is the tough part because it always lies in either piracy or licenses. And so when, for example, Working is no longer available on Crunchyroll, the digital version that's available to people legitimately is no longer available because it's on the whims of their licensing. And once it's off of that license, we no longer can access it. And so people can no longer feel like they have it preserved because we don't know if it'll ever pop up somewhere else. I guess the prime example of a license that has been lost, and we know right now that it's seemingly impossible to get, is Monster. How many people would love to watch Monster legitimately? You can't get a physical copy because nobody's physically distributing it anymore legally. You cannot watch it streamed digitally because nobody has a license for it digitally. So it feels like it's being lost in time. Yes, there's people out there that have pirated versions. There's people out there that have, you know, bootleg versions on DVD or whatever. And yes, somebody somewhere has the rights to it in Japan. It seems like there's more than one person that does. That's probably why it's difficult to get. But it feels like it's being lost. And so there's that fear. But then it comes to things like, what about the more obscure things like Pupa? Yes, it's a dumb show. We laugh at it and everything. But you technically would want some preservation of it. It is still an entity that should be preserved. And so you do have that fear of like, nobody physically sold that show. I don't think it's even on Crunchyroll or anything anymore. So it's just going to be lost. Like, where is it going to end up? So there is, yes, I honestly, from time to time, and it's usually around physical distribution, I have that thought of like, I don't want this stuff to just disappear into obscurity. I want it to always be available. And yes, sadly, I don't always want to have to turn to piracy sites for some random server out in the middle of nowhere to hold that. Because additionally, you can say, well, it's always going to be available in piracy. What if it's not? What if eventually that one server you go for piracy gets shut down? Where's the hope that another server has it? Because yes, you strike down one piracy service for another, but not everything is over on every other server. And so eventually you're going to have, yes, those more obscure shows just disappear. And we literally feed on obscure shows that nobody else likes. I mean, what are the chances that, you know, that one show that doesn't end up on the other piracy server is, you know, Merkstoria, which I actually really like. It has some really cool episodes in that show. I don't really necessarily see everybody going out of their way to preserve that. I see them preserving Full Metal Alchemist. Yeah, every site that's piracy is going to have Full Metal Alchemist on it. But is every site going to have Pupa? Is every site going to have Merkstoria? Is every site going to have Hakume Tomikochi? Is every site going to have all these obscure titles that I absolutely adore for preservation?
Super Cub.
Yeah, Super Cub. I don't see all these sites. Yes, they pride themselves on having just everything because they don't have to worry about licenses, but it does raise a concern. I really do. I don't want that day where I have that technically with Katana Katari. It's one of my favorite shows of all time, and I want people to watch it, but it's like, I have to turn to go, well, you have to find some random website that might have the show on it because it's a phenomenal show and you should watch it. And I don't want it to be lost in obscurity like that because it is a show that I think stands the test of time and it's a phenomenal show. And it's unfortunately being lost due to licensing problems. So, or that nobody wants to pick it up now that NIS America doesn't want it anymore.
It's one of those things that I wish there was a way to understand the kind of mindset of these companies. I do think that there is solutions to these problems. The problem, but one of the issues is a matter of whether or not they really see the issue as being big enough that they need to address it. Is I think a lot of the problem. I remember as growing up that there was this almost coming, thinking back on it now, it's almost like practically a joke. It seems almost every 7 years or every 5 years, Disney would do this. We're releasing such and such show.
The Disney Vault.
The Disney Vault. And when it comes down to it, I mean,
it's the McRib syndrome.
Yeah. These studios should almost do something similar where they're revisiting their old shows and bringing them out for general consumption. And the problem is they go back and they say, well, the last time we only made this much money off of it. So obviously nobody wants it. No, that's not necessarily true. Your audience is shifting over time and tastes are changing, and it doesn't necessarily mean that we're not interested in it at this moment. Don't forget, we've got 100 and something odd shows every two seasons that we're having to go through. We can't get to everything all the time. I would love to go back and watch some of the shows that I've, or Tenchi for the 27th time, but I just can't. I can't fit Tenchi, the 27th watching, in with my list of shows that I have to watch next season. It's just not happening. And this is the frustrating thing. It doesn't mean that I don't love Tenchi. I truly do love Tenchi, but I can't fit it in with my schedule. And this is something that I wish these companies would respect that in a way. But at the same time, I do understand. It's not feasible for them to leave a stock of 5 copies of each one of their shows in every store across the entire globe, because that's really what we're talking. We're not talking about just in Japan. We're talking about the entire globe. 5 copies in every store in every country, and it's not financially feasible in any way, shape, or form. It's a pipe dream. I would love to see it, but it's not happening. And that's one of the frustrating things, is we're between the two. Now, does that mean that piracy is viable? No, not really. But at the same time, it makes it one of those things that the argument becomes really frustrating, because I have a hard time arguing against it when, like Andrew was talking about, the availability. That's why we've always been kind of in this kind of moral gray area, where we're not going to preach at you about it, but at the same time, we highly suggest supporting these companies. With things that are going on recently, yeah, we're having a even harder time supporting it, but at the same time, we still pretty much stand on that side of, we should support them in hopes that they'll get their act straight. But when it comes down to it, the frustrating thing is that we want these things, and especially like you were talking about with maintaining at least a copy of them. I've always been one for, I as much as I detest the concept, I do understand that abandonware needs to be kept. Why? Because there is some things back there that should be maintained. Whether or not those companies go out of service and whether or not they have their copies of it. Could you imagine a world where we've lost the original copy of Doom? That would suck. Absolutely suck. Some of these games that were lost to the Atari, can you imagine losing some of those? If it wasn't for these abandonware groups that are out there doing that, we might have lost some of those things. And that's the thing, that as much as I detest the idea of ROMs, when it comes down to it, I don't want to see a lot of these things get lost to the ether. And some of these shows, it would be just horrible to lose. I mean, could you imagine losing Shogun Roku, Rakugo Shinju to the ether because nobody wanted to keep a copy of it because, well, piracy is bad. It's as much as I hate to admit to it, it's a truth. I mean, I'm not saying that we're going to lose Shogun Roku. I'm saying that that's almost the mindset that a lot of these people do actually maintain. And we see it with the ROMs and stuff like that. When a company goes out, nobody maintains that, and it doesn't get picked up by some weird auctioneer that sells it for $25,000. The last physical copy of it, and then we'll never see it ever again.
And that's really the reason why I don't really support so much the idea of the piracy companies or piracy groups being the ones that preserve things, because if you think about it, they don't have the best copy. Like, that's the whole concern that I really have, is that I'm hopeful that a lot of these companies that do create a lot of these shows, a lot of these production companies, or maybe the studios themselves hold them, that there's somebody out there that holds a master. And they always hold that master. I mean, it's easy for a lot of cases of things that get HD remasters that are typically like Ghibli Studio stuff, because they have like the original film rolls and stuff like that. They're able to pull those out and get like some higher quality pulls from them, because a lot of these old rolls, if they have the old film rolls, they could literally do really high quality HD versions of them. I mean, they can go beyond 4K with them. It's just a case of they have the masters there. I don't want the preservation of a show to be some terribly encoded version of it that's on some random piracy site. The version I want is the master that they have originally there, and there's a hope they keep those, despite the fact of how popular the show that was or not. And then, yes, it does come to concern is if a studio goes under or something like that, that somebody acquires those materials and keeps them in preservation. Otherwise, again, they'll be lost to time. Even if they may never be able to actually sell it because of licensing issues with a company going under, there's still hope that, you know, somebody preserves it and somebody keeps it for the possibility that, yeah, maybe if I don't know how Japanese laws work, but maybe after 80 years, it gets to that point where it can be public domain and everybody can access it and make some better quality versions of it or something. Maybe a 30,000K resolution later on when we start selling TVs for that, because that's obviously the future. So yeah, my hope is that it's not really a case of us relying on piracy for preservation, just because I don't think necessarily they have the best quality. And like you said before, technically there's multiple versions of it. There's each region, different subtitling versions of it. They don't necessarily have to have subtitles because you're preserving the show and the original work, not necessarily that. But I mean, obviously some people would like the preservation of the dubs as well. So yeah, it's an issue. It's one of those things that is similar to the gaming sphere. It's an issue where you want that preservation because you love it so much, but at the same time, there's so many legalities and licensing mumbo jumbo that gets mixed up into the fandom. Preservation is both an aspect of fandom and you know, projected sales. So the companies don't care as much because they don't see value in it beyond a certain point. I mean, Chris kind of hit on it a little bit, but yeah, it's the issue that we really face in preservation of anime and games in general is once it's beyond that first hype, there's no value in it to a company. Keeping a license for a long time has no value. Yeah, there's a lot of companies that will bring out older show and they bank on people's nostalgia to buy them later on. But you don't see Crunchyroll going, hey, by the way, we acquired the license to Pupa again. I bet you all want to watch that. Nobody's going to watch it. The people that wanted to watch it already. It's an old show. Everybody's worried about the current season. That's like we always talk about whenever a season's out and suddenly something pops up on Funimation. And everybody's like, hey, did you watch this show? It just popped up on Funimation. It's like, yeah, it's an older show. We didn't really watch it. But it's a good show. I'm like, well, yeah, it is a good show, but we're focused on the new season. It's always the conundrum. That's what the issue we always have with Netflix. Hey, this show just dropped on Netflix. Oh, that show from like last year, you know, summer season. Yeah, they finally released it, and I'm too busy with the current season to really watch it. We're a habit of the current now because everybody, we all know we're in the same season. It's the easiest way for us to have a larger discussions. We all know we're on the same page with the current season, and so dealing with other stuff, older stuff, is hard to do. And yes, it's hard to fit time in to rewatch older stuff. So. And that, I think, sells to the mindset of the companies that they don't really want to touch older stuff. So it ends up getting lost in obscurity. And there's a hope that it doesn't mean that it just disappears in time. Because, yes, every now and then I love seeing something pop up and go, oh, crap, that's back. I want to watch that because I really love that. And that's my whole point whenever I talk about rescue licenses. And whenever I do push companies and it does seem like they listen, I make sure to support it. When Scrap Princess got picked up, I was like, okay, I'm picking it up. When I think it was True Tears popped up, I'm grabbing it. Project Echo, I'm grabbing it. Because I want to support what I've been pushing them. So whenever somebody gets Katana Gatari, I will buy it. Because I've said countless times, somebody pick this up. When somebody picks up Dream, Cheeky Angel, I'm going to buy it because I've been chanting at people to pick it up. Nozomi Entertainment listened to me when I said that somebody needs to pick up Zetsuba Sensei. They finally picked it up. I'm going to support it because that is that seeming it's like a, it's not a full preservation of old titles, but it's a nice step. It's at least you can have that feeling like you, at least I'll be able to hold this stuff for my lifetime. I doubt it will last beyond my lifetime, but at least I know that I can watch it whenever I want to watch it. So maybe the older DVDs might not work, but most of the stuff should last my lifetime unless it all burns down, unfortunately. But yeah, that's a great question there, though. Thanks, TBC. Thanks for jumping on the Discord. You've been pretty active on there, and we love talking to you. But yeah, I guess that we'll call it there. It's a lot of questions there, and we have a bit more, but keep them coming on Discord. We definitely appreciate the questions. As always, again, you can go to tacospirit.com. There's social media links there where you can go find our Discord and other social medias if you want to contact us. There's also a link to our YouTube channel where you can subscribe and support us there by watching the videos there. We also have a link to, I think, our Twitch account, which we've been doing a lot of live streaming there. We got affiliate, so a lot of people are jumping on there and supporting us there, and definitely appreciate that. If you have a Prime account and you don't are not using your Twitch Prime subscription, you can definitely just toss it our way. Again, it's twitch.tv/otakuspirited. That's ED at the end of it. You can find links to that in our different social media links as well. So, but yeah, we definitely appreciate everybody that supports us through telling people about us, sharing our stuff, or at least supporting us through Patreon or our tips link. We definitely appreciate it. As always, we hope you all enjoyed, and y'all take care.
Oos.
Tsunamono